Administrative slash finance committee for January 14, 2013 underway. And I know we got council members at the end talking to folks. Before we start the agenda, I'd like to wish everybody in the room a happy new year. Sorry. First council session this evening of 2014, and hopefully we have a successful year financially as a county government and serving the people that elect us to be here. Starting with recognizing folks at the table, Councilmember Diller's here, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Bell, Councilman Sheldon, Councilmember Kilpatrick, my aide, I'm Councilman John Cartier, my aide, Brian Holleiter, is taking the minutes. With that, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes of the 17th of December 2013.
Motion approved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Minutes are approved. Councilman Street has joined us at the table. Working on to the next point on the agenda. Councilman Smiley.
Can I just clarify on the record that we just received the first yes vote out of Councilman Street for 2014?
Uh-huh. I think
that's notable going forward. We don't know.
Was that a yes vote?
It was a no.
It was not a...
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Don't let him change it. I didn't. We got it.
All right. Moving on to the next item on the agenda, consent calendar. I have nothing under consent calendar. Next agenda item, other resolutions. Resolution 14-029, approving the refund of taxes paid in error on parcel 140120027. And we, from time to time, we do process refunds of taxes paid in error. I'd like this refund reflects a payment of $5,280.46, and I'd like to have folks in finance just provide some detail for us, please.
Mike Coop, finance. This represents property of a subdivided part of the property. The taxes were reduced when the property was subdivided. This is a refund for the half of the property where it was subdivided.
Okay. Any questions, comments from members of council? Councilman Smiley.
I just want to clarify on the record, because I think it's worth noting that this refund is for the parcel once subdivided that did not have a residence on it.
Okay.
So this is technically an undeveloped property.
On the land with no improvements. Before we move on for questions and comments, I'd like to recognize Councilman Weiner's joined us. Council President Bullock, Councilman Retta has joined us at the table. Yes, Councilman Weiner, you had a comment or question?
Yes, thank you. Just following up on Councilman Smiley, I just wanted to clarify, Councilman Smiley, that this specifically refers to a noted exception in the code. He's acknowledging yes.
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 Okay. Any other comments, questions on Resolution 14-029? Moving along under ordinances, Ordinance 13-102, amend the grants budget, appropriate $36,602 in additional FY 2014 federal funding through the Home Investment Partnership Program, which is administered by the Department of Community Services. Councilmember Diller, were you going to take that first?
Yes.
Okay.
As you can see on both your summary and then on the ordinance itself, the breakdown is this is $36,601 to administration, $27,451 to subgrantees, and $5,490 to the community housing development, the CHOTO. All of this coming under the home funds. I'll throw out a lifeline to Mr. Mattis as to how did we get this extra $36,000? Nice, but didn't know how we got it.
Well, what happens, as you're familiar with the budget process, the timing of which is that we estimate what our funding would be, and then after the budget process with the county is over, HUD comes in and actually gives us our funding. You've reconciled the bottom line on the balance sheet. This is actually the funds that came in from HUD in addition to what we budgeted, and they will be allocated. Because of the size, I'll be back to you for a specific project for approval and the allocation of the funds.
Thank you.
Okay, any questions, comments from members of council on ordinance 13-102? I guess just for record, Home Investment Partnership Program money is a HUD program, Housing and Urban Development, and federal funds. Okay, moving along. Next ordinance, 13-103, amend the grants budget, appropriate $254,000 in additional federal funding from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to the Community Development Block Grant, FY 2014, administered by Department of Community Services. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a similar, I believe, that we've made the adjustment when you get the actual budget from HUD. This results in a $229,854 in additional CDBG dollars. I just want to say, in addition to this, I think we all know that our general manager and our community services department were successful. We all got the notification. There was a press conference related to the $500,000 that we received from the bank for the improvements for the Route 9 corridor. I think that was a real success item that we really haven't talked about around here, but this is our first opportunity to acknowledge the work of our general manager of community services and being successful. I believe one of the first grantees of this kind of money to come to Newcastle County, and we're using it in a neighborhood that's dearly in need of revitalization. So we have $500,000 in additional money, and it's just an example of what General Manager said he would attempt to continue to do, is to go out to find other funds to supplement our operating budget, and I think he's done a good job, and he deserves our appreciation for that. In addition, last night I was at the Wilmington Library. They had the ribbon cutting ceremony for the new Wilmington Library at Rodney Square. I mean, it's a really beautiful building. It's unbelievable what they've done to that building. And I heard different numbers thrown around, but I remember one of the speakers saying that it was an $11.8 million update to that building. The general manager was there, Eric Hayes was there, and there's other folk. I believe the county executive had stopped early. But it's, I encourage everybody to take an opportunity to go to Rodney Square to take a look at the new Wilmington Library. It's really a sight to see. So.
Okay.
Alan, I yield to you for.
Just to Alan Mattis, Community Services. Thank you, Councilman Collins, for that. Very nice comment. But the person who really deserves credit for this is Harry Casey, who secured the loan from the Federal Home Loan Grant Bank of Pittsburgh. So if I could, I just want to acknowledge Harry and her staff for making this happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, kudos to Ms. Casey for all her good work for the department. And if I could just follow up with a comment. Generally speaking, over the years that I've been on council, Community Services has done an exemplary job, not only securing funds from the federal government and other sources, but also deploying those funds in community rehab, development work, generally, you know, supporting our nonprofits out there. They do a great job. And once again, we have another good set of news with additional funds being secured from the Federal Home Loan Bank for Route 9 corridor. Very good. Any other comments, questions on ordinance 13-103? All right, moving along. Under other, long delayed, but now appearing today, we have our checkbook presentation by our chief financial officer. This is a presentation that we get annually looking at our county revenues and expenditures, and it's a very important way to monitor the fiscal status of the county. And you could just identify yourself for the record. And
yes, sir. Russ Morris, Office of Finance. This will be a review of the FY14 revenues as of December 31st. So we've got 6 months worth of history in so far. We'll be taking a look at our projections for the remainder of the year. Obviously, in the general fund, the largest portion that we talk about is the property tax. Most of that comes in during the first quarter. You can see last year our budget was $108.8 million. We took in just a little bit over that, $109 million. Our budget this year is $109.7 million. We've already taken in $107,600,000 so far this year. So in the next 6 months, we're only going to take in about another $2 million. You can see that how that relates to all the other revenues combined in the general fund only make up $55 million. So this really is the largest portion of our general fund. But probably one of the ones that people are most interested in, and one of the ones that's been very volatile over the past several years, is the RTT. I'm happy to say that this is also one of the bright spots this year. Last year, we took in $19.7 million. That was significantly better than our budget of 16.3. And we started off this year saying, well, we're going to have a budget of $19 million. And we've certainly blown past that. You can see that the revised estimate is now $22.5 million. And we've taken in enough so far this year that essentially all we have to do is continue the pace that we were on last year to make that 22.5. And we've been about 30% above last year. A few more slides can go over this. This summary of the statistics is as of November. I was looking at the updated statistics through December just yesterday. They really haven't changed. The overall information is still there. Overall transactions are up in FY 2014. Our first-time home buyer exemptions are up. Our transactions under 500,000 under and between 500,000 and a million are up. That's all good news. The lowest number that you see there is between 1 million and 5 million. We were down 8. At this point, we're only down 2 compared to last year. So that did fairly well in the month of December. And over $5 million transactions. Yes, that's up. It's up considerably, 5 transactions over the previous year. But one of those, of course, was the big kahuna. You know, $75 million in one transaction. It's the largest transaction that we've seen in the past, I believe, 8 years. Christiana Retail Center. Over $5 million transactions. In the first quarter, we took in over $3 million in RTT for those very large transactions. And we've had 4 more in the past 3 months. No, I didn't hiccup. There were 2 separate buildings that sold in the Penn Cater Corporate Center. One was in October, one was in December. A small apartment complex, the Buford Manlove complex, sold. And one of the Walgreens sold in the month of December. All told, that's $3.6 million. It's one of the reasons why we've been able to increase our projection for this year. It's because of these very large transactions. Ignoring the very large transactions, we've seen considerable strength in the under $1 million. If we look at this chart, the under $1 million sales in FY13 last year was $12.6 million. That's the best it's been since 2008. So we're starting to see, you know, improvements not only in these large commercial transactions, but in the overall housing market. And that's where, you know, that points to considerable strength for not only this year, but hopefully for the years to come. Here's some of the other items in the general fund on the service charges. You can see that sheriff's commissions, last year we took in 3.5. Our budget is 4.2 million. We expect to be about on budget. Same with sheriff fees, slightly larger than last year. We expect to be on budget. Deeds, corporate filing fees, again, we're not projecting any change there. Subdivision review. Planning fees have been slightly down over the past 2 years. Now, we increased it slightly in the budget for FY14, but after looking at 6 months worth of experience, we said, well, we better take it down to last year's actual. So we're down to $800,000 in subdivision review. And the 911 reporting fees, that comes in pretty much like clockwork. That's $1.1 million. Recorder of deeds. This looks bad when you look at it very quickly, because you say, oh my gosh, the numbers are going down. Well, They're going down a little bit in the first half of the year because we're seeing fewer refinance transactions coming through the Recorder of Deeds. Housing sales are healthy, and most of those are going to occur in the latter half of the year, so we expect their numbers to pick up. But yes, that's one of the reasons why the budget for Recorder of Deeds is slightly less than last year's actual. Last year we took in $6.1 million. We're only projecting 5.8 this year. So even though when you look at this chart, it looks like the numbers are down, it should rebound in the second half of the year. Sheriff. This has been slowly climbing up. You'll remember that the sheriff sales, the numbers were very high a couple of years ago during the foreclosure crisis. And then the state of Delaware decided to step in and have the mortgage mediation program. We saw a significant drop-off in revenues in the sheriff's department since then. And then as the banks got used to the new program, it's slowly finding its footing, it's moving along, and it's creeping up just slightly. Even so, as it increases, we continue to see far lower numbers for the sheriff's revenue than we saw 2-3 years ago. And we also continue to see far fewer new foreclosure filings. Even before they get to the sheriff's sales, you have to have a foreclosure filing. Foreclosure filings are about half of what they were in 2010. Sheriff sales, again, you can see here's the impact. At one point, there was almost 160 houses a month that were actually being sold at sheriff sales. That dropped off drastically when the mortgage mediation program came in, and now it's starting to inch back up. And this year, we expect to see it somewhere around 80. And it might be 70 on the low side, might be 90 on the high side, but it's averaging right around 80 per month. So again, it's about half of what it was 2 years ago. Subdivision and zoning review. This is the area that I told you that we've been looking at carefully. We've taken this down by the $200,000 because during the first half of the year we saw fewer large plans being submitted. We're hoping that it picks up in the second half of the year, the way it did last year. And there have been some early indications that there's some new filings. So this is pretty much, we're going to take a wait and see on subdivision. Building permits. Again, this is another one. Don't worry about seeing that number go down. Building tends to be a very seasonal activity. When I look at most of the strength, particularly in the housing market, in November and December, they're actually better than last year for the same time. The reason that that number looks low compared to last December is because we had a few apartment complexes come in last year. We had over $90,000 in building permits for apartment complexes last December. And usually you don't see that sort of thing. They come in streaks. And we're already starting to see some more commercial construction permit requests coming in. So the building season is going to be getting underway in the next couple of months, and we're starting to see the activity in the permit section. So we've already increased this by a couple hundred thousand dollars, and I think that's conservative. We might need to increase this even more if some of the larger projects actually get started in this fiscal year. Again, just looking at historically the number of building permits, even though commercial is, the small blue bar down at the bottom, they have obviously an outsized impact because that can be $1 million in revenues, even though it's just a small portion of it. But the housing numbers have certainly picked up. They picked up strongly in 2013. They continue to be better in 2014 than they were in 2013. So people kept saying, when is the housing market going to come back? It's coming back. We can see that in real estate sales transactions. We can see that in the building permits. Here we go. Again, new construction permits. This information is as of November. And if I look at the number of commercial permits. They're down slightly compared to last year. But again, we expect to see more permits coming in for commercial in the second half of the year. Multi-residential are down. They would be down even more when I look at the December. But when I look at single family and when we look at townhouses, those are both higher than last year. And that's where the continuing strength in the construction industry has been for the past year. Some of the other major categories. Recreation, overall, $1.2 million. We expect that to be on budget this year. Use of money and property, that's rents that we receive. That includes interest income. That's $4 million. We expect to receive $4 million this year. Intergovernmental revenues, that's actually going to be a little bit higher than budgeted. We budgeted it at $5.3 million. We expect it to come in at $5.4 million. And that small difference is monies that were received to reimburse the county for expenses related to Hurricane Sandy. Some of that came in on the general fund. Even more came in on the sewer fund side. But that small difference is reimbursements from FEMA. The bulk of that, of course, is paramedic reimbursement. And miscellaneous is $500,000. On the sewer side, when we look at the non-residential sewer, and those are the only ones that we have actual receipts for so far this year, when we took a look at the first quarter, we were worried that the numbers were less than what we had budgeted. So we reduced the overall estimates by $200,000. However, when we look at the second quarter, even though it's slightly below the budgeted number per quarter, in order to make budget, you'd need $8.1 million per quarter in non-residential sewer. We took in very close to $8 million, and it's an improving trend. The other thing is that when I look at industrial, I've seen an improving trend for six quarters in a row. So we're hoping that we're not going to need any further reductions in the non-residential sewer. In fact, it might even come in slightly above our estimates right now. The only thing that we've reduced further on the sewer side is on the residential sewer, and that's been taken down. I believe it was a total of $1 million on the residential sewer.
Okay,
needs us to.
Okay, Ed Maluki from the finance office. So where do we stand as far as this current fiscal year? On the expenditure side, we're projecting $164.7 million to spend. That's roughly about $2.2 million under our original budget, where we spend about 99% of our expenditures. Barring any additional, if we continue to have a bad winter or if gasoline prices rise, that may change. But as of right now, we're looking to come in about $2.2 million under budget. On the revenue side, we're looking at about $4.6 million over budget. As Russ explained, the majority of that increase is because of the RTT activity. The good news is that all our other revenue activities are going to meet budget, it looks like. So that's good news that we're going to meet budget on most all our other revenue we talk about. So for the year, revenues versus expenditures, we're looking at about $7.3 million revenues over expenditures. We have a transfer out that goes for our vehicle fleet into the capital. So our net change for the year is about $4.5 million. We began the fiscal year to general fund, the available cash balance was $54.2 million. If you remember when the budget passed back in May, we had planned to use $2 million that we programmed to balance the budget. As of right now, that $2 million will not be needed to take out of the available cash balance, so we should be fine there. The $4.5 million is the excess RTT. Remember that we can only use that money for certain items, debt service, capital. So that money is set aside for those specific purposes. That's why you see the red 4.5 coming out, the transferring out, which brings us back to $54.2 million. So we began the year with $54.2 million in reserves. Right now we're projecting to end the year with $54.2 million in reserves. Good news for the general fund. sewer fund?
That answered my question.
Sewer fund. On the expenditure side, we're projecting about 98% of the budget being expended, about $1.4 million. On the revenue side, we're projecting a shortfall of $1.9 million, primarily because of the current year sewer and the industrials. Hopefully that number won't be as bad as Russ mentioned, the industrials are starting to pick up. So hopefully it'll be less, maybe about $1.5, $1.4 million under budget. For the year, revenues versus expenditures were about $600,000. After our transfers, right now we're projecting the sewer fund to break even for the fiscal year. So we began fiscal year back in July with $14.1 million of available cash balance. As of today, we don't plan to use any of that money to balance our current year. We'll begin next fiscal year with $14.1 million in reserves. So how do we look going out? In 2014, as I went through those numbers, we'll begin 2015 with $54.2 million. We are just beginning the FY15 budget process. We're getting ready to start our executive office budget hearings over the next 2 months to go through the budgets. These are just estimates that you'll see here. Right now, as far as the available cash balance, this program is $2 million to be used in the 2015 budget to have a zero revenue over expenditures. And just as a matter of projections, we are projecting to use $7 million in 2016, $8.5 in 2017, and $10.8 of available cash balances in order to have our revenues over expenditures. In this scenario, even in this case, at the end of 2018, we would still have $25.9 million in tax stabilization or available reserves, in addition to around $30 million in a rainy day reserve. And that's at the end of 2018 in this scenario. Hopefully the economy does better and all our revenue categories go up, where we won't have to use any reserves in the out years. But again, in this scenario, we would be using reserves. And then by 2018, we've got $25.9 million in addition to the rainy day reserve. And the sewer fund, 2014, as I said, zero, $70.9 million in revenue, $70.9 million in expenditures. Next year, in the 2015 budget, as we begin the process, we're very early in the budget process for 2015. Preliminary numbers show about $1.5 million of available cash balances to be used. And in 2016, 2017, and 2018, we'd also use available cash balance for each one of those years. These numbers are just a scenario here. If we don't have any sewer fee increase, or a reduced cost or increase revenues. But by the end of 2018, we would use all our available financial reserves. We still have about $12 or $13 million left in rainy day reserves. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I had a question looking at the sewer fund, your debt service costs don't really change that much. In fact, they kind of go down over time.
Right. And this scenario assumes $25 million bond issue in 2016. So it goes up a little bit. It does include that.
Okay.
So, and the same thing, I think, in the general fund, we included a $10 million bond issue in 2016. So, but yeah, you're right. I mean, our sewer, our debt service is going down every year. But as if you go out to the debt market, that will add debt service onto it, depending on the size of the issue. But if you look at the amortization schedule for the sewer fund and the general fund, they both go down instead of going up.
Have we refinanced all the debt associated with?
Yeah, we did that a couple years ago. It was almost $3.5-4 million.
Okay.
With interest rates going up, we've kind of
we did
very well. We did that a couple years ago. And sure, we're looking for every opportunity we can to save money.
Any questions, comments from members of council? It's always good to get a rosy report and not use our reserves. Councilman Street, you had a question or comment?
Well, I'm sure a lot of folks are happy, administration happy with like the influx of revenue. And I hate to be the naysayer all the time, and, I'm sure we'll have some discussion about the influx of revenue, what we can do to do good things with it. But the projection, as I understand it,
at 84 closures a month, we're guesstimating that about 1,000 people in this county are going to lose their home from sheriff's aid. I think the previous record is crystal clear. The overwhelming majority of those foreclosures, not the majority, but a disparate number, are in my district, both in the city and out of the city. And I'm just wondering out loud, as the banks intervened and stopped some, as the state intervened and stopped some of the foreclosures with the banks, I'm wondering what we can do to be innovative to reduce the number of foreclosures, because in my view, it's not a good number, nothing to be happy about, even though overall revenue is increased and we're going to have some additional resources. That's just me thinking out loud and calling as I see.
Does anybody want to comment on that for administration at all, or any other members of council want to comment on that point?
I state has various mediation processes that they're trying to put in place. I know CDNH, Carrie's shaking her head, that there's various programs that you guys have for foreclosure up, correct?
Carrie Casey with Division of Community Development and Housing. We participate on a task force with the AG's office. We offer the multi-purpose room for all the mediation meetings, and we continue to dialogue. We collect the data for Newcastle County, our department does, and we send out postcards to folks that receive a complaint, and we try to, with the information about the housing counseling agencies, which is the first step in helping with when someone's in a crisis situation with a foreclosure complaint, and we continue to work with the AG's office and the Delaware State Housing Authority on ways that we can be more grassroots and proactive with the foreclosure, because as you say, 80 is still a lot, and the mediation program and the Attorney General's office will tell you it is working. When the folks show up for mediation, and about 50% to 60% of those folks that show up actually get some sort of resolution. So it's those numbers could be. We've been worried because we thought with the lull in the foreclosures that we would see a huge increase, and because the mediation program has actually been working relatively well, it's not as high as it could have been. But I think internally we're all trying to work, and we see ourselves as more of a way, like doing more grassroots, like direct mailing. You know, when people call, we try to give them the information that they need, and we're working together. But, you know, and we'll continue to do so. We'd be happy to continue to update council, you know, on any progress that we have with it.
Thank you.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, you pick up the newspaper, you see a lot of negativity being cast upon some of our elected officials at times, and certainly just recently the Attorney General is always questioning what's he doing about this, what's he doing about that. But I can tell you that these foreclosures and our Attorney General and the Attorney General's office stepping up to the plate and taking action has made a significant difference in the foreclosure rate in this state and in this county. So. It's easy to sit back and criticize sometimes, but maybe they ought to be publicized in some of the good that our AG's office is doing.
Very good point, and very well taken by any knowledgeable, you know, person around, especially this table, that it has impacted and reduced the foreclosure rate in the county. I'd like to recognize that Councilman Powers has joined us at the table. Any other questions, comments on the checkbook presentation by our finance department folks? I guess my final comment on this section of the agenda, our question, you know, what percentage of the government was paid for our general fund by transfer tax? And we talked about how transfer tax is restricted in how we can spend it. Maybe you could just give a little perspective about that.
Probably right now it's maybe what 12 to 15% is funded by transfer tax. I mean,
of the general fund.
Yeah, the general fund. You remember when we were getting $40 million in transfer tax? It was probably 25% of the general fund budget at that time was funded through transfer tax.
And what are the limitations on those expenditures?
Well, for transfer, because we use for public, toward public works and public safety, when the state granted the county way back when public transfer tax, it's supposed to be used for capital projects, public works, public safety type of initiatives.
Over the years, we have managed to reduce our exposure to that highly volatile tax revenue, but it's still a major funding source for our operation.
Yeah, and the upside, I mean, even though, as Russ mentioned, on transfer tax, I mean, we are seeing a lot more transactions go through. We're still not seeing the increase in value of the houses that we have. If you remember way back when, houses were going up 10 or 15% a year, the value of them. We're in the positive, they are going up, but not way up.
Okay, I'd like to move along unless members have any questions, comments on the checkbook presentation. All right, moving along, we have a presentation by our Chief Administrative Officer, David Grimaldi, on the risk of unfunded liabilities in Newcastle County. So I think we had a sort of optimistic view, and now we're going to get
the short lens.
The less optimistic view on the fiscal state of the county.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. David Grimaldi, CAO. I wanted to brief council on what I believe and what we believe to be one of the more serious challenges facing the county. And let me just preface that by saying, no, it's not just Newcastle County. Yes, it's a national issue. I'm sure a lot of you have heard about mounting student debt crisis, which is about $1.2 trillion in debt. State and local unfunded pension liabilities make that look like chump change. We're talking about $4 trillion. State and local governments are on the hook just for unfunded pension liabilities. If we turn to the county, our unfunded portion of OPEB, which is retiree health care, retiree prescriptions, we have just exceeded $300 million. That is projected to hit $500 million by 2018. So in easier terms, that is 93% unfunded. In the pension, last year, the actuary asked us to contribute as a recommended contribution, $17.7 million. You back out a few million dollars for the police, but it was 17.7. And for this coming year, it's $20.3 million, a 15% year-over-year increase. The public sector gets away with certain exemptions that the private sector does not. The first is that we don't need to value our future liabilities the way that the private sector does. Okay, so in essence, the government is allowed to significantly understate its future liabilities. So whereas if you look at last year's pension annual report, you know, it'll show that we're about 72% funded and there's $145 million in future unfunded liabilities. If you use the discount rate that the private sector uses, the discount rate that Moody's is going to require us to use next year, that looks more like $350 million unfunded and a 52% funded ratio.
If you could, for clarity, just clarify what you mean by discount rate, so people are clear about that.
So if you guys are familiar with compounding, all right, so discounting is essentially the opposite of compounding, right? So the higher the interest rate in compounding, the higher number you get to in the future. The higher interest rate you use in discounting, the lower number you'll get in today's terms. So we are allowed to discount at 7.5%, which we're discounting in the financial flaw that we're committing is we are discounting future risk-less liabilities by the risky rate of return of the asset. In financial principle holds that you should be using a discount rate that has some association to the risk you're assuming. We are certainly paying these liabilities. They are riskless liabilities. We should not be using a high or risky rate of return to discount them. Yes, we're allowed to do it, but it's also important to keep a perspective on reality. The other thing that the public sector is allowed to do is not take our biggest liabilities, which essentially these are, and put them on our balance sheet. They're not on our balance sheet. Although next year, pension will come to our balance sheet, Moody's is going to require it, and I'm hearing that OPEB will soon follow. But if you look at our balance sheet, you take our assets, you minus our liabilities, and we have a net position of $295 million in assets. So we have a net position of assets. you just add unfunded OPEBs and we already swing to a position of net liability. So yes, this is a problem. No, the sky's not burning now, but it is something that we're going to have to deal with, because these unfunded liabilities are growing exponentially, and they are growing every minute of every hour of every single day without exception. And I think that the municipalities that either keep or retain a AAA bond rating are going to be those that deal with this early. And indeed, the rating agencies are starting to say, you don't need to fix it now, but first you need to recognize that this is an issue and we want to see a plan. And they're going to be demanding that, and Walton and the street is going to. My fear is that if we don't come together and at least chart a course forward, if we don't have a plan to deal with this, then the bond market will figure this out. And if the bond market figures it out and we don't have any plan going forward, the changes will still come, but they'll be much more severe and much quicker. I think that we haven't reached the point where this is not fixable. I think it is. I think we'd be early. And I think the rating agencies would commend us for dealing with it now, but it is time to start dealing with it. I'll give you an example. In 2001, the annual contribution to the pension fund was about $2 million. Our letter from Boomershine recommends $20.3 million for this coming year. We have to back out a few million for police, but essentially it's about 10% increase in about 10 years. So you don't need to be a mathematician, right? If the next 10 years looks like the last 10 years, and we don't do something now, we are going to be talking about pension contributions in excess of our current operating budget. It's just not sustainable. It's something that needs to be addressed. And no, I don't have a solution, but I do hope that over the coming months that we can come together and sort of chart a path forward to deal with these real problems.
What is the current discount rate that we are?
7.5%. And if you use 7.5%, that brings to 145 million unfunded and 72% funded. If you use the Citigroup pension liability curve, which is what Moody's is saying is their preferred discount rate, that goes to 345 million unfunded and 52.2% funded ratio.
And what is that discount rate?
It is variable. It'll track the 10-year treasury with a little bit of a premium on it. I think it's about 4.5%.
Okay. Councilman White.
And let me just say, if I may, we learned this lesson in Detroit. Detroit claimed on its balance sheet, the same way all governments do, this favorable valuation technique, that they had $650 million in unfunded liabilities. When they went to bankruptcy court, they said, no, you got to value it the way the private sector does. So when they accounted for it the real way, it went from $650 million unfunded to $3.5 billion unfunded. And that's by one percentage point change in the discount rate. That's what that will do.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I appreciate the questions you asked. And CAO, I appreciate the knowledge and your presentation. Although your tenor was calm, your message is very important for us to understand and begin to turn the ship around. Just a comment, if you will, on the last 10 years before the recession, or 5 years before the recession. Standard operating practice is to be adjusting while times are good and be increasing the amount of lessening the amount of unfunded part of your liabilities. It seemed as if our county was not doing that, and instead, in a good time, was following a course which was counterintuitive to standard operating investment strategy. And now, after 2007, we were getting deeper in the hole. Could you put that in your own terms? Because that's the way that I understand it. And although I have a layman's knowledge of it, you have a much better expertise on that.
Well, actually, put it in perspective, in 2002, the county's pension fund was overfunded. It was 117% funded. Very, very healthy. And in fact, we had a more healthy funded ratio than the state of Delaware, who, by the way, has the number one best funded pension plan in the country. The state of Delaware does. And we were better than they were. But somehow, over the last decade or so, yes, it was the financial crisis, and yes, it was underfunding the annual contributions. It's an easy way to balance your budget, but what happens is every time you underfund the annual contribution, you are incurring future liabilities in the future. So, yes, it was sort of like a 1-2 punch. You had the recession, and the market value, I believe, of the assets of the pension alone dropped by about $100 million.
And in terms of investment strategy, were we following standard course during 2002 to 2007?
I can't speak to the investment strategy because I'm not...
Or the impact. What did you see in terms of your reviewing, in terms of the tracking, in terms of increasing or lessening the unfunded portion, or keeping it... It dropped precipitously after 2002.
It did, because there were some market fluctuations, particularly in 2008 and 9, which really took its toll, and that was the big hit. I don't want to get too much into the causes, because I really think we've just got to deal with the issue that's at hand, but in my opinion, you had a few things, okay? You had underfunding for a few years, the annual contribution. There was a very lucrative buy-in system for that window that for a brief period of time where employees were allowed to buy in and get pensions for life. And, you know, there were instances where people were paying $70,000 and getting annuitized payments immediately for the rest of their life. Well, when you do that, you impair the pension fund. For everybody collecting a $75,000 a year pension, if you went to an insurance company and said, okay, I'd like to collect $75,000 a year, how much do I have to give you? They would tell you about $1.5 million. So for everybody collecting $75,000, we need to have $1.5 million in that pension fund, not $70,000. So you do that enough time, yes, you will impair the pension. That's the first thing. The second thing is the financial crisis, and this is the biggest one. The financial crisis took $100 million out of market value quickly. I'm going to tell you, those municipalities that entered this decade the way that we are now, that were 80% funded, they're Detroit. Okay, those that were overfunded like we are, you know, we're dealing with 70% funded status. But I think it was all the above. I don't think it was any single thing.
Could we...
From the investment management you asked about, yeah, I think
there's... One more follow-up.
Yes, thank you. Could we... How would we be impacted with another recession punch?
That's the big fear. Okay, so we are, that's a good question. We're 72% funded based on the favorable valuation technique, 52% based on the private sector Moody's valuation technique. Now, and we are at the top of a market cycle, both in duration and magnitude, this current economic expansion and bull market has exceeded its historic averages. So the average bull market lasts about 4.5 years. We've exceeded that. The average bull market will increase from the previous trough by 135%. We've exceeded that. So by both duration and magnitude, we are close. I think probability is on my side that we are closer to a market top for sure than a bottom. So yes, another 2009, and there would be severe issues, severe immediate issues facing the pension.
Okay, Councilman Powers.
Yes, you know, Dave, the stuff in the past is the past. Partly what you said, if we could have a problem in the future, and you didn't really know what to do, but is there any idea what we got to do? Is it easier to curb that early on, or what's going to happen? You know, what is your thoughts on that?
I think we've got to get together with the stakeholders. I think that we have to come together. I think the administration has to come together. I think the labor unions have to come together because they're all vested in this. And we have to devise that vote. I'm not sure what that is. But what I can tell you is if we do it proactively, the pain will be a little bit less. If the bond market forces us to restructure, the pain will be quick and severe.
Councilman Sheldon.
Dave, do you know the ratio between the stocks and the bonds right now?
I think they're...
The investment
portfolio. Yeah, in the pension?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're about 60% bonds, 40% stocks, roughly.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
All right, that's about normal for all building trades and so forth, so, all right.
Councilman Powers.
Has that been what it's been traditionally?
I couldn't answer that.
Yeah, because just knowing with the Farm Bureau, with the fund that we had, probably about the same time, we were 25-75 bonds. It's now the other way around because the stocks did so well. But and they're doing real well. But if I had to fight to put the 25% into stocks, because farmers are pretty conservative. But if they hadn't done that, they wouldn't be in the shape they are today.
Councilman Wyatt.
Thank you. David, in terms of the ratio between bonds and stocks and risk factors, as well as the other national factors, isn't true that there's no one-size-fits-all ratio between stocks and bonds. It's constantly fluctuating. And without fiduciaries on our pension board that are following that and tracking that all the time, there's no way that we have a one-size-fits-all solution as to that ratio.
That ratio, and you're right, Councilman, that ratio will depend on a lot of things, but most importantly is the timing of liquidity needs, right? So if a bulk of the people are retiring, you know, within the next 5 years, then you want to be as safe as possible knowing that there's going to be liquidity needs coming up. So it is tied mostly to liquidity needs and of course, market cycle.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments from members of council? I think it's always great to, get a perspective looking ahead and looking forward at these important matters. And, I'd like to thank the CAO for bringing that forward to us. And I'm sure, members of council and administration will want to work together, along with our employee unions, to, look at this very seriously and to begin to address, this unfunded liability matters, especially since we're going to be in an era where we're going to have to report these things on our financial statements. And when exactly does that come to force for local governments? Yeah,
next year that Moody's is asking for the pension to be on. There's talk that the next thing that's coming is OPEB, and it's reasonable that it should be there. I mean, essentially, when this whole thing happened, there was massive private sector pension reform, and governments excluded themselves, really, because they thought that they could regulate themselves. That really hasn't worked well throughout the country. So I think it's Wall Street that's calling for this change for the transparency of the financial statements.
Are there going to be any IRS regulations or other federal regulations that will come to into play in the next few years?
I'd like to see the return
law. Not that I'm aware of.
So it's mainly driven by, the rating agencies on Wall Street that are going to bring forward these.
Right, and at this point, they just want to know that, number one, we recognize that there's an issue, and we're at least formalizing a plan to deal with it. It's not, the house is not burning now, but it's something that needs to be dealt with.
Okay. Any other questions, comments by members of council on our unfunded liabilities? All right, I'd like to move along. Thank you very much. We're moving along to our grant requests, council grant requests. And I'd like to move along to our first grant request. The applicant is the Northeast Civic Association and Safe United Neighborhoods. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a request for $1,200 for reflective gear. This Northeast area of the city is a place of violence. Shootings occurring there more frequently than anyone could probably imagine if you didn't read about it in the paper. It's also the area where the state police officer was shot. And the Northeast Civic Association I've been to a number of their meetings. They are really trying to, the residents who live there are trying very desperately to turn this around. And I am trying to help them this grant will help them to purchase the reflective gear that the members are wearing on their marches, and trying to encourage other neighbors to get involved and to assist with the police. The meetings I've gone to, there's always been a presence of Wilmington City Police trying to help to turn this around. So I'm making a motion to grant to the Northeast Civic Association $1,200 for the purpose of reflective gear.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
Second.
Okay,
discussion?
Councilman Weiner, discussion?
Yes. Penrose, would they be offended if I added $600?
I doubt it. I think I was at a meeting last night, as a matter of fact, where they were present along with the Wilmington peacekeepers. It's a very serious problem, and I don't need to say any more than what people have read about in certain areas of the city, and this just happens to be one of those areas. But the good thing about it, there is a good thing, is that the pastor of the little church there off of the 22nd Market was female. She decided to get involved, and she's been on the marches herself. People are sincere about trying to turn this around, so I certainly think it would be appreciated. Offer my thank you on their behalf.
Well, having lived there my earlier years, I was to consider it my neighborhood still. So I'd like to contribute $600.
Thank you
all
very much.
Let the record reflect Council Weiner is going to make a contribution to raise the total grant amount. Is that what we're doing?
We need an amended motion.
To add additional $600 to the grant, or cost share with you? Is that what we're trying to do?
I'd like to add $600.
Thank
We'd
you
like
very
to
much.
Add, mm-hmm. So I'd bring the grant amount up to $1,800.
I'll make certain that I mentioned that in my correspondence.
Thank you.
So I have a. We're going to go to $1,800. Do we need to make a motion about that again?
Yeah.
Let's revise that motion, please.
Yeah, I revise the motion to make a motion to for $1,800 to the Northeast Civic Association.
Second.
So we have second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, one not voting. Very generous of you, Councilman Weiner. Thank you. Moving along, Odessa Fire Company Incorporated, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Proposing a $1,000 grant to the Odessa Fire Company. They just completed a rather extensive renovation and expansion program of their main station, which has not been done in years. And for those of us who have some of our villages and towns where the town itself is rather strict as far as the architecture of the building and different things as far as the character of the community and everything. They went through quite a bit, but they have a beautiful station 24 on Main Street in Odessa. And it's kind of interesting because we talked earlier about the building starting to rebound. We have at least five major development projects that are underway currently, and they all reside within the Odessa Fire District. So this $1,000 grant would be utilized by the company to enhance their service by buying some small tools and appliances for their apparatus.
Okay, I have a motion on table to grant the Odessa Fire Company $1,000. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify. Oh, Councilman Powers?
Yes.
Discussion?
Yeah, I just would like to give 200 of that. So if you could give eight, I'll give two.
Okay.
I'll give two from mine. And here,
right,
it'll be eight. It'll
is
be
this
a,
an additional? Or
no, this is added.
Cost share?
Cost sharing, yeah.
Okay.
Sharing it. Really, even some of the building going on in Middletown's in Odessa's
okay.
Fire District.
The cost share, 200 from Councilman Powers, 800 from Bell.
Mr. Chairman, if I
yes.
could, I'll stay with the 1,000 and gladly accept the 200 in addition
okay.
to, because
so
I think that would be very much appreciated.
All right. Council President Bullock?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we support Age Delaware with $1,000.
Well, one second,
Odessa.
Sir. We got to finish the Odessa Fire Company. We're going to take the vote.
Okay.
We're going to get right on to yours right away. All right.
We have a
motion for $1,200 for the Odessa Fire Company. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Let the record show the president was out of order.
Not me.
I'm not saying that, sir. You are.
Second.
So be it. So be it.
Forgive us.
Councilman Tackett has joined us at the table. President Bullock, you're up.
Oh, Thank you.
He's scared now.
Make a motion, Mr. Chairman, $1,000 to H. Delaware for this annual Do the Right Thing for Life event. It's an annual event to bring awareness to the AIDS issue, which is serious in Newcastle County.
Very good. We have a $1,000 grant request for AIDS Delaware. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
One not voting. Grant is approved. All grants are approved. Thank you very much. Very good causes. Everybody's doing a great job out there supporting our communities. So with that, we're going to move on to expensive revenue roundtable. Is that the last point there? Anybody have any comments for our expensive revenue roundtable? Certainly, we got deluge today with all this financial data about the current budget year, perspective on the next budget year. And just for the record, we had a preliminary meeting with the finance department, the chairs of finance, Councilman Smiley, myself, and Jim Boyle was in attendance just to begin the talk about the coming budget deliberations for fiscal year 2015. It's always good to start the new year with some good news from the previous year, where we were going to need $2 million out of the reserve, and it turns out because of the performance of the transfer tax exceeding our expectations, plus measures to contain costs, we're not going to use that $2 million to fund our general fund activities. But with that, I'd like any comments, questions, expense and revenue roundtable, contributions, concerns. Okay, I think everybody's got more data than they can deal with right now at the table. Moving on to other, anything for the good of the order, anything under other, nothing. Public comment, anything from the public at the table?
Motion adjourned.
Motion adjourned. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Meeting is adjourned. Thank